What does the color look like back here?
Green. Sit down.
What does the color look like from here?
That was red.
No, okay. Okay.
You're going to really love listening to that.
I would delete that if I were you. No, that might be our intro to this episode.
No, because people will hurt their earballs.
No, I didn't, I didn't put no gum in my mouth. I'm sorry. I don't smell bad. Oh. I do like this.
There you go.
This is our theme song. I don't know if she had to record it first.
Oh.
Okay. Hit it.
Right?
This is our theme song.
Well, bless.
You're so talented.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, guys. We just ate food, so we're a little, we're in a good place.
You're welcome
for
that little insight into our lives. Like, we eat together.
Uh-huh.
We do.
Yeah, we break bread together.
I love it.
In that Jesus' Christianized
name.
It.
In Jesus' name.
We prayed and everything.
Exactly. Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm Charity.
Meredith.
I'm Jerry. And we're happy that you're here with us. So, yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome. New and old.
Oh, you
that's
know.
What, I meant, like, new and veterans.
that's yeah.
Any age
people, any
or
listener,
gender,
any
or,
person.
Yeah, any human child of God. Thank you for listening.
And
to
if
us.
You're not a child of God, we're really glad you're here too.
Isn't everybody a child of God?
Well, yeah.
Boy, that was deep.
That's what I meant.
Deep. That's yeah. Yeah. That hit the floor right there.
Actually pretty good.
So, on that note, let's open up, talk to God for a minute.
Yeah, His
children
we need to.
Talk to their father.
Yes. Lord, thank you so much that we could be here and laugh today and just talk through some topics that are really important to us and hit home with us. And I just pray that you would be in the midst of our discussion and guide our thoughts, guide our hearts. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we kind of started this conversation just as we do in
off
life.
Mic.
Uh-huh. Off mic.
Off the record.
Off the record. You don't know what happens off the record. But so Jerry was sharing something that was very insightful.
Thanks.
Is that the word?
I don't know. I don't know what you're
trying
to say. I
don't either. Anyways, she was sharing about her prayer life, and we thought that it would be something great to chat with you guys about. So I'm going to pose this question to you, Jerry. Are you ready?
Oh, I think so.
How do we pray about the future while putting hope in God and not in our circumstances?
Okay. So to answer that question honestly, from my perspective and from my life, I have no clue. To be honest with you, for the last 5 or 6 years, I've had a really hard struggle in my prayer life. My mom was diagnosed with cancer, and what was crazy about it was honestly the best diagnosis you could possibly have because she had surgery, they took everything out, she didn't even need chemo or radiation. So it's one of those, praise Jesus, everything's wonderful. But it really kind of sent me on a spiral of what am I praying for? If her body is going to do what it's going to do, why do I even need to pray? And it just kind of went kind of out of control, honestly, to where I was sitting on the phone with my mom, who should have been the one I was comforting, but yet she was comforting me. And it actually led to a point of like, how do I even know God exists? Because what is the point of all of this? And talked to several people and I've gotten to a better place, but it's still a struggle that I find a lot. And it's where I pray to God with, this is what I want. These are the desires of my heart. But if it's not what you want for me, it's okay. It's your will. And I want your will to happen. And I find that I do that more in a self-preservation mode to guard my heart against what can happen versus really truly wanting His will for my life. But if I pray, God, I want your will, and what I've asked for doesn't happen, then I go, oh, well, he did His will. So He answered my prayer, and that's good. That's fine. It's still something I struggle with. It's still something I have to force myself to fight. but it's, I still pray. I still push through that. And I think that's the biggest fight I do have, is I do continue to pray, because I do believe in the power of prayer. I just am still trying to reconcile what I ask for versus what sometimes I receive. And so that's kind of where I have to find my hope in God and my hope in what He wants for me and the things that He wants for me versus the hope that I have in my life and what I want from my life and the hope that that comes to be.
So is it, because what I'm hearing in that, and I think anytime that we self-preserve, it is that we're afraid of what the outcome will be. Mm-hmm. And then that makes us want to be like, I will be okay no matter what.
Mm. Yeah.
And I also think that there's a sense of, we don't ever want to be disappointed by God. Mm-hmm. And so it's also that justification in our minds of, well, if this doesn't turn out how I want it to be, I have to be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I'm like, but do we always have to be okay with it? Like, that's maybe part of the process.
Yeah.
Is it's like, God, I'm not okay with this outcome. Mm-hmm. This is horrible. This is awful.
Well, and there's, I'm going to quote scripture really poorly. I do know it's in Psalm. And it's the,
Do I need to Google it?
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
is that right?
That's right.
And I feel like He knows we're going to be brokenhearted in this mm-hmm. world. Like, He knows that that's going to happen. So then He's not, we shouldn't be surprised that it happens, but we shouldn't be surprised that our God is going to be there for us when it does happen, because He is. I always go back to the scripture also in my head where the man yells out, I do believe, but help me in my unbelief. Yeah. And I hold on to that so much, because when I do pray, I do believe that there's a power of prayer, but there's always that little bitty doubt of, will You hear me? Will You care? Will you follow through with what I've asked, or will You provide me with a peace when You don't provide what I ask? Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It is hard for me to go, I love You, God, but I also don't know if I fully trust You sometimes with my life, with the world, with everything, with my eternal life. I trust You,
mm-hmm. yes.
but I don't know if I trust You with my tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In this particular circumstance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is interesting, like, because one of the things that we've talked about were the Ebenezer stones, you know. And one of the things that I do go back to is remembering that, like, when yeah. I'm in a situation to where I'm so anxious about it, I'm so worried about what the outcome is going to be, God usually takes my memory back to, but remember when I was here with You in this, mm-hmm. and remember when I was here yeah. with yeah. You in this. And it's not necessarily that those were all circumstances to where the outcome was what mm-hmm. I wanted it to be, but He was always there. Mm-hmm. And something about what you said made me think about a story that my pastor told one time. He was talking about how when his dad was sick, that he was going to pray, like, I think as a family, they were going to pray. And his mom looked at him and said, mm-hmm. don't you pray for God's will. Mm-hmm. You pray that He's healed. And I thought, gosh, how often do we feel that? Mm-hmm. Mm. No, I don't want Your will in this. I want to have the outcome. I want that person to stay with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I want this to turn out well, to where mm-hmm. I can laugh about it and be happy about it and mm-hmm. not have sorrow over it. But I do think that it is comforting to know that, I mean, Christ was called a man of sorrows. And the wonderful thing about the belief in Christ is the fact that we have a Savior that understands. I mean, in the garden, He prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was what He prayed, knowing full well that under God's sovereignty, He knew what was going to happen, you know, and He knew the path that He was going to have to take, but He still prayed. Yeah. I'm scared, you know, and basically that was, I'm afraid. This is going to be awful, you know? So if it's possible, let me not have to go through this. And then that's the fame. And then that the famous. God makes Himself famous, you know? But that's when it says, but thine will and not mine.
Yeah.
You know? And so, right? And yeah. thine about the, and yeah. that the other. Oh, no, I got all King James right there. Don't know why I did that.
Thine thou hast.
hither.
I only know the Angela Weber version. I could sing you a little ditty of it.
That would be so good.
Yeah. But you know, if Jesus himself was praying for that, Lord, let this cup pass, that
deliverance.
I feel like that gives us free rein to be praying specifically that way, knowing that whatever happens will ultimately be as God wants it to be, whether that's healing in the situation or not in other situations, knowing, and it comes down to trusting him, that he is going to hold our hearts if sorrow is what's at the end of that, and that he's going to walk through that grief and that pain with us, and that he's going to make a situation that's so heartbreaking something good and beautiful in the way that only he can do.
Which is, I also think, so in my prayer life recently, it has been about praying candidly, but also openly. But I've also found that there's been a peace in not even knowing how the circumstance is going to play out, but knowing that he's in control and that I've, and that, this sounds ridiculous, but I've given him that control. I've never had the control to begin with, but I've given him the control in my mind, which has been a freeing way to pray, to go, I
surrender.
You know, I mean, my father has a lot of health issues, and there was just kind of a little bit, it was a small health scare recently, and I was able to just go, God, you love him more than I do, and you, he is your son, he is, I love him, and he is very dear to me, and he is just a huge part of my heart, but I can't even fathom how much you love him, so he is in your hands, and you will, honestly, your will be done, and he was fine, and it worked out fine, but there was also a piece before I even knew how it was going to play out, not that I was going to be all peaceful if something had happened, but there was a peace and a relief and a release for me to be able to pray and truly believe that it was in his hands, no matter the circumstance. And it's not always easy.
No, it's never easy.
No, and I'm grateful that God meets us in those moments. Because that peace that you felt is only, you know, the quote, the peace that passes all understanding.
Well, and that's when he brings it. You know, it's in those moments when we need it the most. That's when he shows up and gives us what we need for that day, for that moment, just to carry us through.
Well, and so how do we pray? Like, I'm going to ask myself this question because I have a little bit of an answer.
But ask yourself a question, Meredith.
So, I mean, we, Charity and I don't even need to be here.
We could just take a break.
Just sit this one out, girls.
I got this.
But, well, because in my mind I was thinking, so how do we still pray boldly? Which scripture says that we are to approach the throne of God boldly. And bring our request to him. And one of the things I am about to enter into a big season of change, which has already started a bit. And one of the things that I have felt God lay on my heart, because there's this part of me that's like, self-preserve, something horrible could happen. And be prepared. Be prepared for the awful. And what I have felt God impress upon my heart is hope for the good things that I have for you. And so one of the ways, like, and God truly, and this is such a neat relationship that we have, but he will truly direct my prayers. You know, we will, I will be processing over something, then all of a sudden I'll pray something. I'm like, well, all right then. Just kind of takes me by surprise. But one of those things that has done that is that I have been praying boldly that God would bless me in this new season. That where I'm going, that he has good things waiting for me and that he will bless me in every aspect of it. And that is something that is really unnerving to like step, because too, I'm like, well, that's kind of arrogant.
No.
It is truly a God-led thing, because that's not my natural nature. To ask for that. So I do think that we're called to boldly bring these things before him in hope and trust that his perfect will be done. And whether that's a comfort in the bad and the heartbreaking, or it's, you know, something that he's guiding us into that he has work for us to do, or whatever it may look like.
When I first started this acting thing, when God first started me down this road, there was a very simple prayer that he led me to pray, and it was, Lord, bless me, protect me, use me, guide me. I think I had them in a different order, but it was but it was those four things. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him so beautifully do that as I've prayed that over mm-hmm. over my acting career or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I think it's great to be praying for God to bless you as it's something that you know that he's leading you into. Mm-hmm. He's going to bless it. So you are actually praying his perfect will over mm-hmm. over what this path is that he's laid out for you.
Yeah,
so he's going to make the path straight in front of you. And mm-hmm. it's so beautiful when we see it work out in our physical lives.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I was thinking about a conversation that I had to have this week, which was really hard. And as I was praying about it, I was like, well, God, I'm just standing here on this cliff and I know you're going to make me jump off it. So I'm going to trust you're going to be there and you're going to catch me once I, you know, like that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It felt like, oh gosh, it's just, but then I was like, but then it'll be over and it'll be okay.
But then it just turned out to be like, just a little step down.
Exactly.
That's true.
It's so true.
Yeah. He got you.
Like, oh, I want to
get your itty bitty little step.
Thank you, Jesus, for bringing up the ground. And let me just walk.
Yeah. Because we never we never blow it out of proportion.
Never. Mm-hmm. It's never over-dramatized.
No. This is a cliff. It's 4 inches down, but it's a cliff. Oh, that's such a good point.
You know, Jerry, when you were talking earlier, it reminded me of a conversation we've had several times, and you have encouraged me and challenged me with this scripture many, many times, and that's that.
Are you scripture? You did.
You're so good.
Oh, okay.
You're really such a Christian.
I'm excited to hear what this one is.
I feel like you've quoted way more scripture.
I know you have. Either one both of us combined.
Okay.
It's true. It's true. But and I forget what book of the Bible it is, but it's one of the Gospels. I can't remember if it's Matthew or Mark, but it's the ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And then it goes on to say, I think it was Jesus talking. He was saying, which of you, when your son asks you for bread, do you give him a stone? Mm-hmm. Or if he asks for fish, do you give him a snake? He's like, how much more your heavenly Father is he going to give good things to those who ask him? And there's been, this has come up in several conversations that we have had as I've been like, there was a time in life where I was like, I've been praying for bread and it feels like God's given me a stone and I'm really struggling with that. And you brought it around and was like, but Charity, what you're looking at as a stone might actually be bread. You got to change your perspective because he's giving you what you think is a stone, but it's actually probably protecting you from something else so that he can bring the bread to you later. Like that is actually a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard perspective to get mm-hmm. your mind wrapped around. But as I've come out of that specific situation, looked back on it, I see that what you were saying was absolutely true. Mm-hmm. What I was viewing as a stone in answer to prayer ended up being bread, ended up being mm-hmm. a blessing.
Yeah.
And I'm glad God didn't answer those specific mm-hmm. prayers at that time in my life.
Right. And what's cool, I won't take credit for this. My therapist was telling me this part. He said, because the response that Christ gets is, how much more will the Father give you? So while we're asking for bread, God may have a mm-hmm. cake that he's willing, wanting to give us, or something even bigger that we just have our mindset on what we think we want. But God has so much more. You know, like I love that Meredith, that you're asking for him to bless you and that you're not necessarily listing specific things, but you're saying, God, bless me. Whatever that looks like. And I think, one, that's really trusting. I love that. But two, I do think that's putting your hope in God, saying, what you're going to give me is the blessing. Mm. It's not what I'm saying. It's not that you're going to give me what I'm asking for specifically, because I don't know if what I'm asking for will bless me. But what you give me and what you have planned for me is the blessing. And I think that's where we start putting our hope in God and what God has for us versus us listing off, this is all the things that we want. That's not to say that God doesn't want to hear us say that we would like this. Another scripture says, pray, do not be anxious about anything, but pray mm-hmm. for everything. You know, anything that comes to our mind, we should pray about.
And it says you don't have because you don't ask.
So ask. So there is that element to it. But then I think to just open yourself up to whatever blessing God has for you, I think opens your perspective way wider than what your tunnel vision can be of, this is what I want.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Well, and then it's the whole idea of, it's just like you, then that brings it back to the fact that you said, you know, that changes your perspective of mm-hmm. it may feel like a stone, mm-hmm. but it's actually your blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
And that's how God can turn something that we see as negative to something that's good mm-hmm. in a way that only he can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I was meeting, because I met with my pastor after everything was going on with my mom, and the biggest thing that I took away from that was prayer was ultimately made for me, and yes. it was made for you, and it was made for us yes. as humans to communicate with God, that's what prayer is. And so even though we struggle with it, to still do it, to still communicate with God, to still acknowledge him in our lives and his sovereignty in our life, and that is what helps change that perspective and helps change mm-hmm. our thoughts and our feelings toward whatever circumstance we are, because we're putting our thoughts and our faith in him, and that always will change our perspective on yeah. the earthly.
Absolutely. Well, and then also, I mean, we've talked about this before, but the thing that God desires most from us is relationship.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, in everything that happens in our lives, that's what he seeks and what he's working towards, is that we will draw closer and closer and closer to him. And I think that the way we communicate with God also affects how close we let others in. And so just as we can self-preserve, in a sense, in our prayers with God, we easily do that then with other relationships mm-hmm. that we have. And, you know, I think God calls us to be transparent and, you know, I mean, I don't need all your dirty laundry hanging out there. So, you know, transparency with a filter.
But, is that in the scripture?
It's just,
that's just pearls of wisdom from Meredith.
You're welcome. So, yeah, but you know, and I think, which I think Philip, which if you haven't listened to that episode, please do. Or two episodes. They are awesome. He's got lots of pearls of wisdom. he's a pearly guy. But one of the things that he said is that, you know, when your relationship is right with God, that affects all of your other relationships. That gives you more confidence. Mm-hmm. So if I have confidence in approaching God, then I have confidence in relationships that I have here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't have to think of the worst of people or prepare the worst, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. in that. And so I think that affects so much of our lives. Once we are, that line of communication is open and we, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I feel like that just kind of fell off. That cliff.
That cliff,
you know?
That 4-inch cliff.
But, you know, you get it. You get me.
You got it. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, and it makes sense because I am a very guarded person with other humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very... I mean, I've known Meredith and Charity how long?
Forever.
And
about
I still
eight or
don't...
9 years.
Yeah,
nine
and years. I still don't, like... It takes me a long time to go, they're my best friends.
I like
you
to
know?
Tell them this.
But yeah, my friend, you know, I have friends, Brooke and Brittany. I've known them since I was 3 or 4. The first time Brooke told me she loved me, I laughed in her face.
What? That sounds about
and
right.
We were in college. I'd known her forever. And I was just like, what is this? And I do find that it's hard for me to... And I don't necessarily like a lot of people because they get on my nerves, but I do tend to love people genuinely, and I want to love them in Christ's name and as children of God, which most people are children of God, Charity.
All people are children of God.
And so, but it is hard for me to express that. I'm so guarded mm-hmm. with just, like, I'll say I love you ad nauseum with my family. Like, it's ridiculous. But with friends and just those type of relationships, it's really hard for me to say those things and to, and not that I don't feel them, but it just feels kind of different for me to say that. And it makes sense because sometimes, I mean, I don't even know if I say I love you to God. That's so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I love him and I cherish him, but I don't know if I've ever just in a prayer gone, I love you, mm-hmm. you know? That's sad.
No. And you know, and I'm pretty free in my I love yous. So
me too. We're kind of the same person.
So sometimes that's not necessarily, you know, because sometimes you end up saying it to somebody where you're like, oh, whoops. I mean, I do, you know, don't get me wrong. But this brings up a pretty funny story that my sister actually just told me. Melissa, you're going to love that. I shared this, but it's so hilarious.
I'm so excited.
But so she was at work, and she was on a call with someone, and they had talked for a little while. And she said, so then I go to hang out with this woman, and I'm like, all right, bye, love you.
I mean, that has happened so many times.
Me too.
As guarded as I am with I love you, it'll still happen at work. I love you, bye.
I love it so much. Just like my favorite.
Yeah. I answer the phone at my office, and I have come so close to saying I love you to major clients before. Thank God I've caught myself in time, but it has been... Yeah. Well, close.
And I will say, which I never actually said this, which it probably would have been a much funnier story if I had, but there for like a season, I don't know, a few months, it would like, whenever I would go to hang up with someone at work, I would want to say, in Jesus' name, I pray, I'm in. I don't know why.
Because you're ending the conversation like you do in your relationship with Jesus. It all carries over.
And I think usually, like, as I'm closing my prayer, I'm like, thank you so much, God. And then that's why I'm like, oh, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, I pray.
That's awesome. I love it.
Craziness.
Oh, man.
That's
so cool.
Anywho.
So, I don't know how to do it. I think you just push through. I think you just push through the doubt and you... It's about choices. It's always about choices. And even if you feel like you might get hurt by God, by what he decides for you, you still choose to believe that he's not going to hurt you. You still choose to pray and believe that in his heart of hearts, I am important to his heart.
Yes.
Yeah. And that his choices for me are going to be for my good.
Yeah. Well, and
that's scripture too.
Yes, look at that. I mean, just like prophetess over here. And in that same vein, it is the idea that as you pray, you trust that God loves you fiercely. Yeah. Above anything else, God loves you and that he is good. In everything, in every circumstance, no matter how bad it feels.
Because those are two truths.
That's right.
Yeah.
Truths. No matter what our circumstances tell us, no matter how we're feeling, it is truth that God loves you, mm-hmm. and it is truth that God is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And God bless.
Now let's transition into... Oh, it's your line.
Okay. And now let's transition into our sharing corner.
I love that every time you do it, you put your hand up to your chin and then bob your head like...
We need to film this.
It's like a whisper. And it's kind of... I don't know if it's necessarily in the lines of what we've been talking about, but so a few years ago, oh gosh, I want to say 13, I might get the year wrong. My cousin was killed in a car accident and we were very close. I was born in May, she was in November. So my whole life, you know, we grew up together. Our families are close. So every weekend, every other weekend we were together and she was killed in a car accident. And it was the first death really in my life that didn't make sense. It wasn't the natural order of things. And it was just hard, you know, across the board. But the week before she passed away, she sent my aunt, her mother, an email. And she was talking about a test that she had aced because we were both in college at the time. And she was just having a good time. She had made good friends. And this whole email was just how good her life was. And at the end of it, she said, I love my life. And that's kind of become a mantra for our family. And my aunt had made these pink bracelets because pink was her favorite color. And on it, it says, love your life. And so I have it hanging on my rearview mirror with a whole bunch of other things. I don't know how. I have such a crazy eclectic thing of stuff on my rearview mirror, but it's there. And every once in a while, the little pink will show up and it'll just remind me to love your life. And I think it had to have been a year ago. I was in my car and I was angry with God about my life and the way things were going. And I saw that pink and I went, God, why can't I love my life? What is keeping me from loving my life? And instantly the thought was, you are choosing to not love the life that I'm giving you. And you're not making choices that are lending itself to loving your life. Wow. And I'm not saying it was the catalyst, but I mean, around that time I started going to therapy and part of that was me choosing to fix things in my life that I felt were keeping me from loving it. And so it's kind of been a journey, obviously, you know, but last year too, I thought I was going to buy a condo and I thought I was going to get my MBA and none of that happened. Nothing really changed in my life, but I did start going to therapy. And even though nothing in my status of my life changed, I still learned to love it. And I still learned to accept where I was, but also hope for the future, that God had a future for me. It wasn't supposed to be me down about everything. And it doesn't mean that everything is perfect. I mean, I still miss Katie every day. You know, I still think about her. And I know that this world has heartbreak in it. I know this world has hurt, but there's also so much in it that is worth it to love. And there's so much in it that is worth it to enjoy, because God has given it to us, you know? And I think it also boils down to, we talk about in relationships, people say, well, I don't like him, but I'm choosing to love him. And I think the same could be said for our life, that sometimes we just have to make the choice that we want to love it. And we want to love the one who gave us this life. And we want to be grateful for that. And yeah, so that was my little, it kind of came to me yesterday because I saw the little pink hanging out again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I've got to continue to choose to love this life that you have given me, God. And that was that.
And I love it. Yeah, that's the choice.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Amen.
Amen. And God bless.
Hey guys, we'd love for you to join in on the conversation with any discussion points or questions you might have. So follow us on Instagram, BS_podcast, or like us on Facebook, Blessed Singleness Podcast. See you later. I don't know, I feel like I have to say something.
You don't have to say something.
But it makes me nervous. Can you cut that last part out?
No, I love it so much. It's staying in forever.